Our pericope of Scripture this evening is from 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this evening. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and as Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will love godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Our text is especially verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading and the preaching of His word this evening. This morning we looked at the unfeigned faith of Lois and of Eunice and of Timothy. Timothy, a young preacher in Ephesus. And in Ephesus there were men who were trying to cause trouble in the church. There were the Judaizers who wanted to drag the Christians back into Old Testament instructions and deeds in order to be sure that they were saved. There were others who were saying you should never marry, or you can't eat this or you can't eat that, trying to entangle God's people again in laws made by man. Laws that were now done away with, the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament, because Christ Jesus came. There was persecution because, as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter, he is imprisoned again for the second time, and soon he will be put to death for his faith. And in the light of that, of evil men lurking around and persecution by the government, yes, Timothy needed encouragement. And our young people need encouragement this evening, because the world that they are born into and the world that they're going to live and act out their Christianity in is not a friend, but rather it is a foe. And may we see that enemy for what it is. They will say to us, come join us in our pleasures, in our sin. Even as the Israelites danced around the golden calf and committed adultery and fornication. What a wicked world we live in. And so to timid Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words to encourage him, to bolster him in his faith, and to direct him. What powerful words there. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Beloved, we thank God for His grace, because it is in His grace that He preserves His own. It is in His grace that He preserves His church. It is in His grace that He is going to preserve you in your confession. Preserved in the faith, notice first of all the danger involved. Then second of all, the calling that is given here. And thirdly, the reasons outlined why they should continue in the things that thou hast learned. We read two times in this chapter, well, more than that, but two of the verses at least I want to bring your attention to is verse 10 and verse 14. That word, but. That word means, now in contrast. In contrast to those who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, verse 7, we have verse 10. But thou, Timothy, and all of us here as believers, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, etc. Timothy had an example by the Apostle Paul of his steadfastness in the faith, even though it would cost him his life. So that in the very next chapter, the Apostle Paul is able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And may you and I be able to also conclude our lives with that beautiful confession. I have fought the good fight. Yes, the Christian life is one battlefield. Battle against the sin within ourselves, the sin that is all around us, and a battle against Satan and his demons. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. You have a picture there of the person that is running. And if you're going to run a race, you can't be distracted with other things. You have to lay aside anything that's weighing you down. You don't pay attention to what's around you. You look at the track and you look at the goal that you want to run to. And how beautiful, as you've confessed your faith tonight, may you be able to say with Paul, at the end of your life, I have kept the faith. And henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me, but unto all them that love his appearing. Danger. How young Timothy needed that kind of encouragement. And so Paul, the seasoned pastor, speaks to his young son, Timothy, young son in the faith, that is, dangerous times. Paul is in prison for his faith. So there's not only the hatred from the Judaizers and the Jews in common, but there is now also the government of Rome punishing. There in the church of Ephesus, it is a church of Jesus Christ, but there were evil men, there were false teachers. And so the Apostle Paul is exhorting his young son in the faith so that he may persevere. It is because God preserves us that we are able to persevere in our faith and walk. So a contrast there. Those ever learning and yet they have no knowledge, and God's people who are instructed in His Word and have understanding. The other but word comes in verse 14. There are, verse 13, evil men and seducers that wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, in contrast, continue thou, Timothy, you young people, all of God's people here, where the Spirit brings the word, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. When I went to college, and it was a Christian college, they wanted to convince the young people that you have to throw aside all the things that you learned when you were younger by your parents and open up your mind to receive new knowledge, new understanding. It's just the opposite of what God's Word calls for. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned as a little child sitting on mother's lap or grandma's lap or even grandpa's lap. Terrible times. For people will be lovers of themselves. Go to church twice on Sunday? Man, if it's a beautiful day, there's a beach out there or family get-togethers, sport things that we could watch. Lovers of self, what does my flesh want? And notice the dangers that come then is not from war, from enemies far away from us. It's not from the natural disasters in nature, but rather these troubles will come from the wickedness of depraved people. Not enemies outside the church, but quite often enemies within the organized church. The church that is called church, but is in reality falling into the false church, leading people away from Christ and their need for Him and their sins to story times. Feel good about yourself. Yes, those wicked are going to increase more and more, we read, like weeds in a garden. This morning I compared our young people, our boys and girls, to a watered garden. That is, the plant, the seed of faith has been planted in their hearts and now nourished by Christian parents, by Bible instruction, they grow up. But within the Church of Jesus Christ, in that wheat field, there are tares that grow alongside of the wheat, threatening to choke out the wheat. Or in the case of the wicked, influence those in the church and lead them astray. And why is this such a danger that there are evil people who wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived? Isn't that an interesting phrase? These wicked people try to deceive God's people, but they themselves have been deceived by Satan. Think of the lies that we face today. The deception. Do you have to believe Genesis 1 through 11 that that's real history? That God created the world in 6 days? That there was a real serpent, Satan, who led Adam and Eve astray? Do we really have to believe in the place of women in the church? And the calling of marriage to be abiding, not set aside, broken. Do we believe that marriage is the union of a man and a wife for life? And only God breaks that union by death. And not the definitions of marriage that society and part of the church today is trying to describe as men and men and women together. The danger is there not because evil is stronger than faith. The danger is there not because Satan is stronger than God. It is not some kind of equal kind of force, a dualism, God and Satan both, and who is going to win out. Satan remains just a creature under God's sovereign control. And he cannot do anything more than what the Lord permits. And yes, the Lord will permit him at times to shake us up with trials and difficulties and sorrows to test our faith. Now the danger is there not because Satan is so strong or stronger than our God, but rather because of our sinful nature. We by nature are inclined to all manner of sin. And that's why the pleasures of sin are so appealing to us. It looks so good. Do I really have to behave myself on my date as Dad and Mom have warned me beforehand, or do I just give rein to my lusts? It is the Lord who gives over the wicked to their wicked desires. They become, verse 13, worse and worse. And one worthless person can be more effective in destroying God's people than faithful people in building them up. Watch out for your enemies. And so what is the solution? It is the constant looking and watching and warfare, as we heard a couple weeks ago, and I used it on family visitation, that word, beware. Be on your toes, be alert. The enemy is out there and we are so easily fall prey to him. So the solution is not to be discouraged. Oh, it's such a sinful world. Is it useful for me to keep fighting? I'm so weak. Stand firm. Stand strong. For Christ Jesus. And so the idea of this text that the aged Paul is bringing to this young pastor, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. take a stand and live out of that stand that you have just made tonight. In contrast to the evil men, evil people in the world, and yes, we see it around us, don't we? It's getting worse and worse. Morals being now affirmed that we never would have thought would be affirmed. The word sodomy. What a detestable sin. And now there's a flag out there being waved in the name of that sin. There's a danger. We live in a sinful world. The devil is busy working, and we have a sinful nature that is easily led astray. And so now we have that call. In contrast to those evil men that are ever learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth, thou hast fully known my doctrine, Paul says to Timothy. Thou hast known my manner of life and my purpose, my faith and my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. Yes, young people, look to those who have taught you. Not just the words that you heard in your ears, but look at the godly examples. Now, sometimes they let you down too. And that's when parents or teachers or pastors have to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't behave well. But look at the godly examples set around you. May that be the company that you seek and you love. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That's faith, isn't it? That's exactly the definition that we have of faith in Lord's Day 7. What is true faith? We're not talking about temporary faith. We're not talking about some kind of emotional feeling you might have once in a while. We're talking about true faith, and what is that? It is a sure knowledge of all that God has revealed in His Word. That's true. And that's why it's so awful that some will take this part of the Scriptures and that part of the Scriptures and say, well, now you don't have to believe that part. That's just men talking. That's just a wrapping for an instruction. Either you take all of God's Word for what it is, as we read at the end of this chapter, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not some, all Scripture by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that's what Paul points to. He says, look at your parents. No, not that Greek father. He was a heathen. But Timothy, look at that godly grandmother of yours, Lois. Look at that godly mother God gave you, how she told you the Bible stories when you were sitting on her knee. How she brought you up in that faith. And then when the Apostle Paul came to their town and explained that the Old Testament promise of the Messiah was fulfilled, that the Messiah had indeed come, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, and that it is He who forgives all of our sins. It is He who gives us His Spirit so that we may know and love Him and serve Him and obey Him. And what the Apostle Paul is talking there of Timothy is not just now doctrines that are hid somewhere in the shelves of our head, so that you say, okay, now I'm done with catechism and I'm done with all the doctrine teaching and I don't have to do that no more. No, it's not just doctrines that are taught to us, but rather it is a relationship that was given to us. a relationship where you are young men and young ladies of Zion, of God's church. A relationship where we are God's people and He is our Father who loves us and we are His children who trust Him and desire to serve Him. What a relationship that is. So we know that there is a sovereign God who created all things, who holds all things together, who is still working in providence. And we know Him as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came here, who is now in heaven, but also by His Spirit and Word dwells in our hearts. It's a relationship where we have been saved from our sins so that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We can give our lives. We can use our talents in His service. And that instruction has been going on and on and on, hasn't it? From the beginning of the world. Our God, please to work in families. Please to continue His covenant in the generations. So that we have here this morning, not only parents, but we have grandparents, and we even have great-grandparents. With all, they can count their great-grandchildren. I think someone said 70 of them. And I asked, do you know the names of them all? How wonderful to see God working that way in our families. Oh, Timothy, you know these things. You have knowledge. And you are assured of these things because of those who taught you. Whether it was these godly mother and grandmother, or whether it was the Apostle Paul as he came teaching, whether it be your pastor, whether it be your elders, whether it be your Christian school teachers, you know their faith. But not only that, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and have been assured of. You have that assurance because the Holy Spirit works that assurance in your heart. So you know these doctrines about sin, but you know I'm a sinner. You know the truth about Jesus Christ as a Savior, but you know Him as your own Savior, Lord. And you know that your life is not your own, but it's His. It's a matter of conviction, isn't it? Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And so there is the calling there, continue in those things. The picture is driven here really of a fortress. These truths are a fortress that we are placed in as God's people. These are truths that will enable us to fight the good fight and to run the course that is set before us and to keep the faith. And the warning is here, negatively, don't step outside of that boundary. Don't entertain your mind with all the worldly philosophy that is out there. I talked this morning about the young man who left his wife and dear little children. And why? He went to college. And at college he learned new things. And the faith of his parents seemed so simple to him. Does he really want to hang on to that? And the answer is no. In the world, you're going to meet many different people. In your jobs, those of you who are going to school, maybe even a Christian school, you're going to hear things that do not accord with what you learned as children at your parents' knees. Beware. Don't depart from the truth of God's Word. That is that rock that you have to stand on. Living in that truth. Loving that truth. It transforms all of your relationships. And that's why the Apostle Paul, as a spiritual father to Timothy, says, now look at my life. Learn some things about it from my example. You've known my doctrine, but not just my doctrine. You've known my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience. You've learned and you've seen how I have to be persecuted, what afflictions came to me, what things I endured. And yes, let me take verse 12 to you. You've taken a stand for Christ Jesus. You've publicly confessed your faith. And now the Apostle Paul says to you and to me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Not easy, not pleasant, but good for us. For it is when we have to defend ourselves, or when we are hurt and we know that we are hurt for the Lord's sake. May we be like a Paul and a Silas who were beat, shackled in the inner prison, and they were singing songs in the night, thanking God that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ Jesus. So first of all, the calling implies the negative. Do not depart from those things that you learned when you were young. Positively, then, of course, remain. Abide in those things. And live a life that is consistent with those things that you have read and you have known and you know as the truth in your hearts. Persevering. I believe it. Growing in your knowledge. Supplementing what you were given when you're young and growing in your knowledge of your God and of His Christ and God's purposes in your life. And how do you do that? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith in which is in Christ Jesus. Yes, may your Bibles, and that's what the pleasant thing was as we did family visitation these last weeks, entering into the homes and the children, the young people, the parents hauling out their Bibles, some of them getting kind of worn like mine, and that's a good sign because they're opened and you're having devotions. And you're listening to your God speak to you through that word. And then you pray to Him. What does this all mean? Grow. Continue to grow. You have not arrived. Your confession of faith is not graduation day. Graduation day for any one of us is when the Lord Jesus comes from heaven and takes us individually up to heaven. No more sin. No more enemies persecuting or trying to lead us astray. And no more sinful nature. Home with the Lord Jesus. This encouragement to young Timothy is an encouragement. Now, Timothy, you know these things. Continue in these things. And the idea is there. Now live out of these things. Don't be afraid when you got those evil men in the church that are trying to come with their false teachings. Bring the Word of God. Don't be afraid when Rome is threatening you or the Judaizers are threatening you. Be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. With all the different troubles that the churches have had, some of the churches decided to take their sermons down from sermon audio. Because there are wicked people trying to find fault in sermons. I said to my consistory, no, please don't do that. if I, the pastor, said something wrong, then I have to be able to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Thank you for correcting me. But if wicked men want to twist God's word, I don't want to take God's word away from others who are listening in. And by the grace of God, might be, have faith worked in their hearts or strengthened. B, young people, like some of those biblical examples you remember, Joseph. One could barely understand if Joseph was a little bit peeved at God. He tried to live a godly life amongst his wicked brothers, and what does he get for it? He's sold out there by the Midianites to the Egyptians. And finally, he's able to get out of his prison, and he's able to serve in the household of Potiphar. Away from home, away from dad. Who's going to know what he does? When Potiphar's wife starts teasing him or wants to ensnare him. God forbid that I should do this against my God. And he flees. There is a time to flee from sin. Think of Daniel and his three friends. Again. Wow. Sold into bondage, far away from home, away from the temple. In fact, the temple was destroyed. But those three men would not bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, thrown into the furnace that was heated 10 times hotter. And do you remember? Nebuchadnezzar looks in, and there's four. There's another one, like unto the Son of God. And they are saved. Daniel, thrown into the lion's den. But God shut the mouths of the lions. There will be persecution, but our God is on his throne. And Christ will take away, we read in the baptism form, all evil, or turn it to our profit. What a calling then. Not just to you folks, to each one of us. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Why do it? Well, knowing those scriptures, verse 15, here's a reason to continue it, because those scriptures make thee wise unto salvation. We know the one who holds us in his hand, the one who gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for our sins. We know that he who gave his own Son has begun a good work in us and will not discontinue it. He makes us wise unto our salvation. It's secure in Christ Jesus, and no one can take it away, punish us, kill us. Nothing can separate us from the great love of God in Christ Jesus, not in this life or in the life to come. Know those scriptures and continue in those scriptures because they make you wise unto salvation. How must I live? We live in gratitude. We desire to live in obedience. Because in the way of disobedience to God, we are going to experience God's wrath and correcting. But in the way of obedience, we will experience God's favor and love. That's a song that you probably learned when you were young, and hopefully you never get tired of it. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Wise unto salvation. What kind of man, what kind of woman ought I to be? And the answer is a thankful Christian who hates sin, who flees from sin, who clings to Christ Jesus in faith. That's exactly what the apostle says. Makes thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You and I can continue when our feet are firmly grounded in God's Word. As the psalmist says, that is the light on my life and my path. And God will not lead us astray. Oh, the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. Timothy, don't be ashamed. Don't be timid. Live your life in full confidence because you're not alone. The Spirit of Christ dwells in you. And that's true with any temptations that will face you. Not alone. Christ is with you by His Word and Spirit. That's true wisdom. That's true joy. That's the only way to be free from the bondage of sin. So you see, those laws of dad and mom of how you had to behave and what you had to do, they were not bonds, shackles. Sin is the shackle. And God's Word breaks that shackle. That's what I need. That's what you need. That's what we all need. Do not depart from my word, says God. That's folly. That's bondage. That's the way of following self and Satan and the world and sin and death. Continue daily, day by day, moment from moment, by grace growing stronger in faith and love and obedience. Yes, continue in the Scriptures, verse 17, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect. That means complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May your lives, along with all of God's people here, may our lives be pleasing unto Him. Yes, an active faith, a living faith, a working faith to please our Father in heaven. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the precious gospel. We thank Thee for a living faith worked in our hearts and strengthened by Thy word. We're thankful for boys and girls. We're thankful for young men and young women. We're thankful for godly parents and elders, elderly in the church. Oh Lord, establish us more and more in Thy Word and in our faith that we may live for Thee. Amen.